Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 5. I'm sorry. I'm dyslexic today. I was going to say 527. It's actually 725. Recording May 23rd. Got that right. 2024. And looking at me from the other side of the screen is Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hello, Martin. Here I am looking at you from the other side of the screen. Another year older, another year wiser. I've had a birthday since we last
Congratulations.
Talked.
Yes.
It was a wonderful day, and I have to share why. It's because my dear husband took me to a llama farm. So if you've ever listened to Wells Tech, you may have realized that I'm a little bit obsessed with llamas. They're my favorite thing. And we went and spent the day with a couple of them, and it was so much fun, just like I expected. So
were they named?
Yeah, for sure. I got to spend time with Herman, and Kevin had Tango, and we took him on a long walk. And then later we got to go in with the baby llamas, who were just a couple of weeks old, but already like 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. They grow really fast. Well, they're born really big too, but that was super cool. Kevin actually held a baby llama and yeah, got to pet them and brush them and feed them and do all kinds of fun things. They're just really nice animals, just like I expected. There was no spitting at all.
No spitting involved. Yeah. So there's goat yoga. Is there llama yoga?
Apparently there is. We didn't get to participate in llama yoga, but if you go over to the website, Carlson's Lovable Llamas, they're up in the Waconia area near the cities. You can see all about it. A really neat family story. They got into it because kids wanted to show llamas in 4-H at the fair, and they just had enough interest that they kept having llamas available for the kids. And so they have about 80 right now, and have kids that come out and work with them and show them at the fair and stuff. So,
well, I'm glad you had a happy llama birthday. That's awesome.
It was amazing.
That's nice. You've got a good husband.
Yes, I do. Truth.
All right. What are we going to talk about today, Sally?
Well, I'm very excited. Today's a special day, Martin. Actually, right as we're recording, the seminary, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Assignment Service is kicking off. And this is the day that our seminary seniors learn where they will be assigned to serve in the public ministry. Just a very special culmination of years of work on their part, and as well as many who supported them throughout and all that. One tradition we have on Wells Tech is to talk with a seminarian who's approaching assignments. And we did that with our friend Silas Dose, soon to be Pastor Dose. And our topic was his senior thesis, one of the requirements for graduation. Had a very interesting, perhaps techie interest topic. His paper is titled "Here Be Dragons: Fantasy, Escapism, and a Christian Response," and we're going to hear all about why he chose that topic and how it applies to us, especially who may have those kind of interests.
So let me cue that up. Here we go.
Joining us on Wells Tech today is senior seminarian, soon to be pastor-elect, Silas Dose. Welcome, Silas. Happy to have you here.
Thank you, Sally. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So this is a fun time of year, I think, particularly for people who have the title senior seminarian. Things have finally gotten to a point where you can relax for a moment and consider that a week from now you're going to be assigned into the public ministry. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, big countdown. So we are excited to learn about you. Maybe introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us a little bit about who Silas is and what your experience to date is.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Silas Dose. As you said, I'm 8 days away from receiving a divine call into the pastoral ministry. I was born in southern Minnesota, grew up just outside New Ulm for my entire life. My dad teaches English literature at Martin Luther College. I'm the sixth youngest of seven children, and we live out in the country. So I spent a lot of time kind of wandering through the woods and reading books and just having a good imaginative time with my family. Attended MVL in high school in New Ulm, and then through MLC, and then obviously the seminary. 3 years ago this summer, I married my wife, Laurel Hirschman, and we've been just blessed to have each other. We adopted a dog shortly into my vicar year, so she's going to be two in just a little while, a golden retriever named Winona, who is absolutely delightful. I vicared in Columbus, Ohio, at St. Paul's in the city there, and it was a tremendously good experience, really reinforced that, yes, being a pastor, doing this gospel ministry is exactly what I want to be doing with my life. And then since then, back at seminary, back in Mequon, I've been helping out at Garden Homes Lutheran Church in Milwaukee.
Oh, awesome.
Very nice. Yeah. So you were describing your background and where you lived and your love for reading. Dead Poets Society was running through my head for some reason.
That's a good movie. Enjoy it.
So one thing that seniors have to do or get to do is write a thesis, and you did the same. And we always kind of look over those each year to see if there's something that potentially resonates with our audience. And we've seen fewer and fewer theses kind of focus on pure technology. It used to be, you know, we had three or four to pick from, and now it's kind of woven into a lot of them. And I think yours, the topic that you chose kind of is on the fringes of that too, and we'll get there in a minute. But so you had to decide on a topic, and that's a big decision. You know, one of the bigger decisions you make is you're going to spend a lot of time and energy writing that and then ultimately presenting that. What motivated you to choose? First of all, tell us what your topic is and tell us kind of what took you in that direction.
Yeah, so my topic really started as kind of a desire to re-examine what J.R.R. Tolkien wrote about fantasy in On Fairy Stories. I was familiar with his take, particularly about escapism and it being a kind of sacred thing almost, or at least that it could be. And that just didn't match my experience that throughout my life, as much as I've loved fantasy and like reading and video games and just all my different hobbies, they always felt a little bit at tension with my faith life or with the work that God has given me to do. And so I really wanted to investigate, why is that? Was Tolkien just does what he wrote not apply to today in our media rich society? And then how could I just personally go forward with my own philosophy of what escapism and fantasy can be in my life?
Mm-hmm. So your topic is Here Be Dragons, Fantasy, Escapism, and a Christian Response. Yes. Maybe talk a little bit to how did you kind of connect that to pastoral ministry?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, it's a practical paper of trying to figure out what do we do with our entertainment? How does it fit into our lives of faith? The Bible doesn't talk much about the things that we just do for fun. Mm-hmm. But in our culture, we talk about it all the time. And so I wanted to understand what the Bible did have to say about our relationship with entertainment, and then also how to guide people from maybe a strictly secular view of entertainment to a more godly one.
Excellent. And it seems that kind of the basis of everything that you're sharing in your paper is the creation account found at the very beginning of Genesis. And then obviously the fall into sin and those verses seem to frame your thoughts on the subject. Maybe give us some overview or a quick version of how that creation story is relevant to enjoying fantasy or entertainment, as you say.
Yeah, and that comes from largely like looking at creation is kind of where we see the most intention that God has towards our happiness, just in a relationship between us and then the created world around us. Since the fall into sin has been on our restoration with our relationship with God. And there's moments that pop up in the Psalms and in Ecclesiastes too, where it's very clear that like the relationship between us humans, God's children, and the created world around us is important as well, but it takes a backseat to the far more important relationship, which is between us and God. So in creation, we do see God creating a world for us, creating a garden for us, placing Adam there, and then giving him work to do. And it's always an interesting discussion how much we want to read into the details, the first few chapters of Genesis. But what I really thought interesting was just how the relationship between Adam and Eve and the world around them changed through the fall. How they went from a place of having everything in line with God's will, having a perfect relationship, not just with God and not just with each other, but also with created things. And then going from that state to where we're in, where we don't have a perfect relationship with these things. And we so frequently can use what God created for our good and to make it an idol, to make it something that is more important to us than God.
Yeah, interesting. Really interesting. And throughout your paper, again, as you were referencing that, and particularly focused on the fall, you talked about fig leaves versus pelts. And I thought that was a really good illustration for us to understand. So maybe you can explain that a little.
Yes. So the first thing that happens after Adam and Eve eat the apple or eat the fruit, or they fall into sin and they realize that they're naked. And we can see that there's probably a lot of shame or guilt or lust or other things that happen. And so they become possessed with the need to cover that. They're faced with this dramatic change in their reality that they're struggling with feelings that are sinful and they want to get rid of those. So what do? They go and find leaves and they stitch them together into crude coverings so that they can stop feeling the way that they felt. They can avoid the sinful feelings, the unpleasant feelings. And then they do all the other things. They hide, they blame each other. But when God finds them, he doesn't take away their clothes. He gives them better ones. So there is something within that instinct to avoid the sinful feelings, to avoid the unpleasant experience, that God kept and instead gave them something better in order to achieve that purpose. And you can also see some little bit of like a Jesus pointer in the pelts too. As God killed an animal, there was death that covered them. Some commentators will press that further than others. What I really saw there was that as Adam and Eve take the fig leaves and they make clothing for themselves, they're using the creation that God had given them for a purpose that only God could really do, to get rid of the sin, get rid of the shame, get rid of the discomfort that they had with their sinful reality. And that's something that we do all the time when we're feeling depressed or we're feeling lonely or anxious or just any of the problematic things that we have that we can go. And I mean, the drastic examples are using alcohol to drown away your sorrows or anything else, but we can just as soon turn to normal foods or entertainment or anything else.
Yeah.
You found obviously a lot of material from scripture, which certainly would be the point. Where else did you look for research or resource materials that kind of gave you a kind of the secular picture, the secular approach to the answer to your question, which I think it's a well-rounded paper, and I know you did that. Well, how did you go about doing that?
Yeah, well, the first thing I did was I Googled escapism and saw what books came up. But one of those books was incredibly important for my understanding of the topic from a more philosophical and less religious perspective. And that was the book Escapism by Yifu Tuan, a Chinese-American geographer. And it's just as he found this concept of escape in every single thing that humans do. that in one way or another, we're leaving something behind and preferring something else. And it was from his thoughts that made me think of specifically the clothing in Genesis 3. And besides that, there's a lot of escapist conversation in the medical community with things like addiction. And I cited a few studies in the paper that I found quite interesting. They tend to define things a little bit more differently than what I would find in Twan or Tolkien. And then, of course, Tolkien's On Fairy Stories, which, while religious, more so at the end, ultimately he's writing more of a philosophical thing than a strictly religious or Christian view on it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. The just to take maybe a more technological tact on our conversation, obviously technology has enabled escapism. You know, you can visit different worlds that you couldn't before, VR, even just the time you can spend on a computer or with your phone is a form of escapism. And that always kind of leads to the discussion of, well, it's all about me. It's a very narcissistic, kind of space, if you want to call it that. But I thought you did a nice job in kind of bringing that back into, escapism is okay in the life of a Christian if it leads, if it's all in kind of view of that relationship with God and recharging and, yes, enjoying God's creation and the thing he's provided us. But the end game is not just to be by yourself. It's to be, in that relationship with God and do the look at the things that he wants you to be about. Does that kind of sum up? Is that a fair assessment of one of the conclusions you made there?
Yeah, I think so. That's kind of the idea of, do you view entertainment technology as a fig leaf or as a pelt? Mm-hmm. Is it something that you're using to get rid of a negative thing in your life or to add a positive thing in your life? Or do you see it as a blessing that God has given you for your life as his child? So it's mm-hmm. going to have some influence on your relationship with him, on your relationship with others, on your work that God has given you to do. And we can all think of myriad ways where we do not think of it as something God-given, as something mm-hmm. that is just, as you said, a selfish for me thing.
Right.
Yeah. I love the mention. I think it was the Chinese author that always talked about shopping malls as an example.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. Not that I go to shopping malls, but Hobby Lobby. Now, if he had zoned in on that one, maybe. So if I were to say these words, fantasy and escapism, just in a general conversation with a group of, say, older Wells women or something, maybe they would think, oh, that's a bad place. Don't go there. Christians, are going to sin if they play D&D or something to that effect. Is that, how does your research speak to that, I guess? What's the conclusion about avoiding that bad stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the whole topic of like what there's evil within the content that you're viewing is probably a larger topic that I touched on and the authors that I read touched on a little bit, but didn't go too heavily into. Just as a concept, there's really not much different between a fantasy role-playing game or video game and watching sports or taking a walk in nature. Like, these are things that you're not producing anything. You're not making money. You're not supporting your family, but it is the enjoyment of a blessing that God has given you. D&D might be a little bit more complicated than something else, or there's more interaction between people too. And there's just different benefits between that and taking a walk through nature, for example. And as to the evil content, one of the points that I made in my paper was that, like, you can't avoid sin regardless of what you do. And the danger of having having sin within any movie or song or book or video game is that if you start thinking that it's not sin, that it's actually something that's good. And you can sometimes detect when the author or creator of a piece of media thinks that sin is good. You can think of any number of songs that glorify sex or whatnot. But as a Christian, we know it's bad. So when we can identify that, okay, they're talking about this in a way that we shouldn't, that lessens the danger to us. But for just including things, it's actually pretty important for Christian creators or people who do identify a sin as a sin to portray it in a way that can help us face it in real life.
Hmm. Yeah. So I always have to ask, you know, when we have these conversations, was there anything that surprised you? Obviously, you had a, you know, some preconceived ideas of where you wanted to go. And not only did anything surprise you, but did anything change you as a result of kind of doing this research and work?
Yeah, I think what surprised me most was how much I really liked what Tolkien had to write on in On Fairy Stories. And his poem, Mythopoeia, is phenomenal. He's got some things that maybe, like, I don't know, doctrinally, we would be a little uncertain about saying it the same way he does. But how imagining things, like, is ultimately how we kind of view God. He's something that we can't see. It's such a different, like, category than we would ever say imagining a dragon or a wizard is than imagining God. But they both are an imaginative process. We are thinking, we are viewing, we are mentally interacting with something that we cannot physically interact with. And Tolkien makes the point that, well, people do this, right? So, like, that you can, that there's an analogy here between fantasy and, like, fairy stories and then God. Of course, he says then that the beauty of God is that he's real and that all of the good things that we can imagine about him are true as revealed to us in scripture. And that shift in thinking was really fun, was something, again, that, like, you have to speak carefully about it or else you ever give the impression that you don't think God really exists and that he is just a fairy tale. But and then as Tolkien writes about how the good stories, the fantasy stories that we have, can especially have a, in like a, they can point to the Christian story, the story of our salvation, in a unique way that a more grounded or earthly story could, when you have good and evil portrayed in such dramatic fashion. And that's what, you know, God is when he wrests us from the grip of the devil and makes us his children.
Interesting. You used an analogy throughout your paper of a dragon, the city and the areas outside the city. And I think you've probably already answered this in other terms, but can you kind of wrap things up by telling our listeners about your dragon story and its significance in your paper?
Yeah, so this was a metaphor that was influenced largely by Yifu Tuan. But then also, I just liked the subtle pun of saying here be dragons as we're talking about fantasy, both in that there's a danger here and also there are literal dragons. So I describe a city, which is just the function of our lives for survival, for work, the things we do, and then branching out from the cities are various other aspects of life. I think I go with, like, games and then art and even science and experimentation. That's another surprise, just of what Tuan says about imagination within, like, science and everything, which is fascinating. And then the mountains as kind of being, we know that the city is real. We know that the work that we do is real. But as you expand things out, there's more of a level of, I don't know, just unreality to it. Like, games are kind of false things and whatnot. And that fantasy really is kind of the most abstract of a thing that we have. It doesn't exist. It never will exist. But we throw things together in a uniquely creative way. And while, I guess, historically, fantasy is maybe the most decried of all of those, of people kind of looking down their noses at it for one reason or another. And largely, I think today people don't. But just that all of these things there's danger there. There's not just dragons in fantasy. There's dragons in everything. There's dragons in the city because we are sinful. There is danger there that we will have an unhealthy relationship with a created thing, and that will affect our relationship with our creator. But then as I conclude the paper, it's just that, yeah, the mountains of fantasy, they are valid, they are beneficial, and they are dangerous, just like everything else in life.
Nothing that Jesus or his word didn't warn us about, you know, throughout. You know, yes. This should not be a surprise, right?
True.
Yes.
Very good.
Well, we're going to look forward to Pastor-elect Silas Dose and his assignment. I think this interview will actually be aired right around the time that you'll be receiving that assignment. So we'll be listening and watching and eager to find out where that is. We have some bonuses for those that tune into the show, and that obviously we'll be able to link to your paper from the SEM thesis files. And then also you have a prayer that you included in your paper, A Prayer Before Fantasy. So we're going to include that on Wells Tech as well. So thank you sharing your thoughts.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure writing the thing and pleasure talking to you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Awesome. Blessings on your 8 days and
thank you.
Exciting times. And obviously your entrance into ministry. Looking forward to you sharing God's word with God's people.
Our thanks to Silas. Interesting topic, Sally. And I think back in the day, I remember a book called Wizards That Peep, the big controversy back then about Dungeons and Dragons and escapism and mysticism and those kinds of things. And he has a nice treatment. Silas has a nice treatment of the topic in his paper, as people are seeing all kinds of avenues now where, you know, certainly the devil can be, the dragons can be, but also God is as well. So nicely done. And I really enjoyed the conversation.
I did too, Martin. I always approach some of these heavier reading things with a little bit of trepidation, like, am I really going to get this? But I thoroughly enjoyed his paper. Full disclosure, Silas spent a lot of that exciting gaming and story times in our basement because he's a friend of our children and grew up in the same area and stuff. Mm-hmm. Wonderful young man. And I just was eager to read about what he had to say because our family enjoys those types of games at times, you know, mm-hmm. and having him in the proper place and understanding, you know, I especially related to the fact that it said sometimes people could use fantasy football in the same way.
Right.
The world's a lot more into fantasy football than they are into fantasy escapism and stuff. And so I just, you know, the shopping mall or whatever it is for you can hold those kind of dangers, and you have to be aware. And I think he treats it very well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So
nice. And thanks for your time.
Yeah, I probably mentioned in the interview, but a bonus is that we'll be sharing in the show notes Silas's prayer that was part of his thesis, how he concluded the thesis, a prayer for that time of enjoying those blessings and asking God to be with you and return joyfully to normal life.
Yeah, so. Yeah. In our ministry resources section on the show notes page, we'll also include links to those books he referenced as well. I think those are good reading, good foundational information, and so we'll make sure that you have access to those too.
Yeah, just a quick mention: I found both books available on Amazon, but just internet search on fairy stories, the essay by Tolkien that he mentioned quite a bit in his research is available as a PDF. It's posted out there. So I thought I'd throw a link out there to that resource for free.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Very good. Thanks again, Silas. Appreciate your time and blessings on your new ministry. By the time this is released, you'll have that in your back pocket and you'll be making plans to move probably. So. All right, let's move on to our picks of the week. What's up with you, Sally? What are you bringing?
Mine ties right in with senior and seminary thesis. I think we've mentioned this on the show notes before, but I wanted to reference the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary essay files. There's a digital library available on the SEM website. We'll have a link in the show notes. And from there, you can actually search by author or title or whatever you're interested in. So for instance, if you put in a search on DOSE, you'll see Silas's paper as well as probably his father's and links to different graduate photo things and that kind of thing. So if you're looking for some reading, try an opening this treasure chest of the seminary essay files, because there's so much out there. Certainly you can look at it by title. You can look at it by subject. You can see things that were done, you know, recently versus way in the past, and it's all out here for you. So check it out.
And for the grand total price of free. So
yeah,
it's the best part.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. Some very scholarly work, but I, as you mentioned, I think like Silas's paper, approachable. I mean, there's application here. So, and they're encouraged to write it that way too. So good stuff. All right. My pick of the week, Sally, is a hardware pick. And I don't think I've actually picked this before, but I've recently kind of figured out that I don't like mice. And I'm talking about the electronic mice type. I really prefer touchpads or trackpads. All of our computers or laptops come with them these days. But when you're at a different kind of computer, or maybe you're at a desk, so often you're hooking up a mouse. And I have ditched, I've put my mice to bed, and I'm using just the Apple Magic Trackpad. Now, this is kind of a Mac-centric pick, but the trackpad that the trackpads that Apple makes are really the best, kind of best in class. It's not even close to the ones that you see on a PC. So they're super easy to use. And I thought, well, rather than kind of switching how I use my, you know, what my input mechanism is, if I've got the laptop on my lap, or if I'm sitting at a desk, why not just use a trackpad all the time? So I have a trackpad here, and it takes a little getting used to go totally to a trackpad after many, many, many years of using mice. But I find it easier on my hand. And it's a little bit easier in my brain now, too, because it's always going to be the same, whether I've got the trackpad on the laptop or the trackpad here at my desk set up with an external keyboard and an external trackpad. So really high quality. It's not the cheapest thing that Apple makes. Well, Apple doesn't make any cheap things, but so you pay a little bit for it, but you do get the quality. They have that haptic feedback, so it's really not something that has moving parts, but it feels like it does. So it comes in a couple different colors now. It comes in white and I think a space gray, space black. I don't know what they call it, but
they call it black, and apparently black is a hot commodity because it's more expensive.
You pay a little bit extra for the black, yes. So if you want to if you want to do that, you're going to pay a couple, you know, $20 extra. But there is one thing that I found super helpful, and this is a setting, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes too, is the ability to use gestures for different things. And one of those gestures is dragging windows or even selecting content. And you can set it, and I've done this and it's super helpful, is to set your three fingers. Whenever you place three fingers on the trackpad, that acts as a click and drag option. So if you're highlighting text or you're hitting the top bar in your window with your three fingers, you can move that around. So you don't have to kind of do the two finger thing where you're, you know, with your index finger, you're doing one thing and your thumb, you're doing another. This just kind of simplifies things. And I think it makes it a lot easier to use. I also will put a link in the show notes to different options for PC users. There are options. I can't vouch for them, but I know that some manufacturers do make trackpads for Windows PCs. And obviously Windows laptops all have trackpads built into them and they're getting better too. So, but some of these external ones, if you like the big monitor and keyboard and external trackpad, you know, there's a couple options there as well. So that is my pick of the week.
So, Martin, I'm curious what the dimensions are. I don't see that right off the top listed here.
I don't have a ruler in front of me, but I would say it's probably 3.5 by 5, 3.5 tall by 5 wide. It's
like
pretty big. It's bigger than what's on the laptop itself.
Okay, that's what I was curious, because the one on the laptop sometimes seems a little small for me. I want to go bigger than that. So.
No, this is definitely bigger. Again, I don't have a ruler in front of me, but it's decent size. It's comfortable. And that's another thing too. Sometimes that mouse gets gunked up and you know you have to clean it off and does not operate on all surfaces. But the trackpad, it just sits in the same spot. So it's taking up the same desk real estate and actually requires less than a mouse because you're not having to drag it all over creation to make things happen. So I like it.
Excellent.
All right. Should we move on to community news and feedback?
We should. I have something happy to share. So we mentioned the happiness of this date being Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary Assignment Day. Just this past weekend, Martin Luther College graduated a slew of people. Very happy day. And a whole bunch of them were assigned into the public ministry. And there is an amazing video. I just am so happy to watch this video of graduation.
Everybody's all smiling in this video.
Everybody's so happy and everything. Yes. And I reached out to my friends in communication services and said, what an amazing video. I can't imagine who strung together the 1.5 million video clips to make this happen. Being techies, we can appreciate the fact that this probably wasn't an easy task. To get all these different video clips
and
in
how
here.
How quickly it happened, too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is
really,
this is,
it was released just
stuff.
A couple of days later. And you know what I found out? One of our techie friends did this work, and that would be Philip Wells, who's a friend of the show and a very talented guy, obviously, in many ways, not just this video, but this video speaks well for him. And I just thought it was worth giving a little shout out to Phil and thanking him for this work because it really captures the excitement and joy of this day. And it goes all the way through graduation and being in the receiving area after graduation, all the happiness there, all the way to call day assignments and people getting excited about where they're assigned and things like that. So really, really well done. Has some peppy music to go along. We will embed it on our show notes site just because it's that good and worth featuring and worth celebrating as a synod that these young people have finished their training at Martin Luther College.
Yeah. It's hard to capture what it's really like. Both you and I have kind of experienced it. And in a video, short video, I think he did a nice job at doing that. I mean, it is a celebration. And it's not... Graduation is one thing, but this is kind of graduation plus, you know, so it's the end of an educational journey, but the start of a, you know, an immediate start almost of a new chapter in your life. So you got a lot of things going on and just kind of the relief and also then the anticipation of it too, that you could go anywhere in the country or the world and you don't
the joy
know
of it.
30 seconds before.
Right. And it being such a close-knit synod that so many people you know and love are featured. I guarantee you, if you watch, you're going to see people you know in this video and experience, you know, their happiness and stuff. So
for sure.
Really neat time.
Yeah. Parents, grandparents too, same.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to about do it this week. If you'd like to follow the Wells Tech journey that we're on for these many years, we kind of capture that and record that digitally on wellstech.wells.net. And you will see every show we've ever done there, or you could listen to. You can't see them all, but you can definitely listen to them all. And there is opportunity for you to not only see the content, but also interact with us through commenting on shows or links at the top of the page, those social networks that we frequent. So that's a great part of our experience here. And one thing that I think keeps us going, Sally, is just hearing from you guys and gals with your questions, suggestions, feedback, those kinds of things. So that's the place to go if you want to do that, or send an email, wellstech@wells.net. We enjoy getting those as well.
Most definitely. Going to do it again in a couple of weeks, Martin?
We are. We might as well.
Summertime is here.
The next time we gather, we're going to do kind of start our summertime focus, which is a little bit of an abbreviated show. And we're going to kind of do something we did a while back, just kind of conversations, chat with people kind of around the globe about tech things, things that they're involved with, or maybe things that are interesting to you, or people that we just don't see very often, you know, maybe in our normal day-to-day activities, and just kind of bringing them all a little bit closer and letting you see their world and the way they use technology. So looking forward to that. And we're going to start off in our next show with a look at Concordia Technology Solutions. Mingle with the folks from Concordia and Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and some of the tools that we've partnered with them on. So looking forward to that conversation next time. All right, that's going to about do it. I know Sally wants to get online and see who her next pastor is, because that's happening very shortly here.
Can't wait.
On call day. So we'll let her do that, and we'll let you all go on your way, and hopefully you'll return in a couple weeks, and we'll talk about technology again. Thanks for joining us this time. Blessings. Bye-bye.